Good morning. We're all following something. We're going to talk about seven traits of a follower of Jesus Christ this morning. And this is a series we'll be doing. We'll be teaching two traits a week up until the time that we're moving. And then we'll have a new series when we get to Fairfield. But the importance of what it means to follow Jesus. What does that look like? We've talked a lot over this last year about hearing the voice of the Lord, about walking through transitions, about staying steady as you move forward in life, and lots of things. But what does that all look like in our everyday life? And that's what we're going to talk about. And so let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for everyone here. Thank you for every ear that is listening, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for teaching us today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your counsel, your teaching, your comfort today, Lord, as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And for those of you who might not know me, I'm Dr. Janet Cook. My husband and I, Lantern, are the founding pastors of this church. We planted it 30 years ago. And we thank God for his provision and for his help and for faithful people that have walked alongside of us for years. And so God is a good God. Tell someone God's a good God. You know, he always has good things planned for us. And sometimes in the midst of trouble, it's hard to see the good things. But the word says he gives us hope in a future. So there's good things to come. So hold on. Tell your neighbor, hold on to Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk today about following Jesus. And to be a successful Christian, to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, is we've got to be following Jesus. We do a lot of teaching about keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen? He's the author and finisher of our faith. But let's just begin here. Have you ever heard of the game Follow the Leader? Did you play that when you were a kid? You know, the leader does something and everybody else has to mimic the leader. And usually the game doesn't last very long because it's really not that much fun unless you're the leader, right? And that's kind of a part of our human nature. We want to lead and we want to take charge and we want things to be the way we want them. Someone say amen. And that is just kind of the nature. So sometimes it comes down to that particular problem with us following Jesus. It's like we want to have things the way we think they should be and the way that we want them, because that's the way we like them. I remember talking to the Lord one time about an aspect of the service, and he said, Janet, the only reason why you want to do it that way is because you like it that way. He didn't say he didn't like it that way. He was just letting me know he's not changing that. Have you ever talked to God? And he says, I'm not changing it. You're gonna walk through this. You know, I was thinking of Elder Ron's testimony, Elder Ron and Carol, and how their life was shaped and developed of being a part of a communal community where everything was pulled together. You talk about breaking off selfishness and self-desire and that whole attitude, that's mine, I want that, I should have that, I deserve that. You know, that would just be broken right off of you, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. They are the most wonderful people. Well, most wonderful people, they've been with us since the very beginning of our ministry. Just a beautiful couple and family, and we love and appreciate them. So this morning, we're going to take a look at Matthew 4:19. And in Matthew 4:18 through 20, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. So this leads to the question that we're going to try and answer over the next 4 weeks, is what does it mean to follow Jesus? And we have some suggestions on how to keep on track, because Zig Ziglar said, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. Somebody say amen. We have to have some goals in mind and look at the scripture. So following Jesus is a constant act and way of life. And here are seven realities that we have pulled out of the scripture. One, a follower is centered completely on Jesus. Two, a follower is changing by result of steady growth. Three, a follower is challenged to win others to Christ. Four, a follower is committed to live for Jesus and to die for him if necessary. Five, a follower is connected to the strength and living power of Jesus. Six, a follower is consistent in their walk with Jesus and they continually follow him. Seven, a follower is consecrated by the saving grace of Jesus. Now, in the Webster Dictionary, the word follow is a verb that means to go after or behind, to accompany or to pursue. It can also mean to be in agreement with, to accept as authority or imitate. And in the Hebrew, this word is also a verb, and the letters that are used in Hebrew words are often picturistic. They paint a picture in your mind. There's more meaning to the Hebrew symbols and words than just sounding them out like we sound out our English word. There's deep meaning in each one of them. Anyway, this verb to follow is lakov, and it's an action word. And then there is a word used for Jacob when he came out of the womb and he grabbed a hold of the heel of Esau. Do you remember that story? Okay, the twins were being born and he reached his hand down, grabbed that heel. And that word is Yahovka. And then there's another root word that's pronounced I'm koafbet. And that means heel. So in the Hebrew, this word follow is to follow someone in their footsteps. You're tracing their footsteps. This word follow goes back to the root meaning of Jacob grabbing that heel. And he wanted to be first, right? Okay. And the heel represents our instinctive nature, and his hand represented his willed action. Okay, when we're walking, we're using our heels, right? What do you put down first when you're taking a footstep? Your heel. You're supposed to put that down. And so in Judaism, the image of Jacob grasping Esau's heel symbolizes striving, struggle, and divine destiny. It was his divine destiny. So what did Jesus mean by follow me? Following Jesus means to align our lives with his teachings and example, to embrace his values as our own. So it signifies a willingness for us to leave old ways behind, habits behind, and take up our cross and live out a commitment to him above all other influences. Lots of influences. Somebody say amen. Lots of things will try to get into your mind. And here's a good illustration that I read was when we choose to follow Jesus, we're walking in his steps. And this is the illustration. When a soldier is taught how to clear a minefield, his instructor tells him to step precisely in the footprint left by the person in front of him. The concept is simple. Since the person in front of him stepped in that spot and nothing happened, there wasn't a landmine, then the only spot guaranteed to be safe was the ground under that footprint. So stepping anywhere else meant you're risking death. And the person in front of the patrol is called the point man, and his job is to make sure he clears any mines or booby traps before moving forward. And everyone else's job is to walk where he walks and step where he steps. So when we say we're following Jesus, living is our lives. Jesus lived, doing what we do. Jesus did. We're letting Jesus be the point man in our lives. So number one, we're going to look at what it means to be centered. A follower is centered completely on Jesus. And the phrase Jesus-centered describes an approach to life and faith in which every belief and practice is orientated according to Jesus as the North Star. Jesus is the yardstick against which every truth is claimed. And many of you probably know the North Star is a star that has helped sailors for years to navigate through the ocean. And before they had compasses, sailors followed the North Star. Now they have compasses and all kinds of instruments to help direct them. And Christopher Columbus, it's said that he used the North Star to correct the course during his first transatlantic voyage in 1492. So the symbolism of the North Star is it symbolizes hope, guidance, and direction. It also is a symbol of stability and purpose because it contains in the same, it stays in the same position relative to the other stars. And see, this is Jesus. Scripture says he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. His word is eternal in the heavens. If we're following after him, if we are following his word, then we are going to be secure and our feet are going to be secure and we're not going to get off that path that leads to death because there is a path that leads to death. Wide is the path that leads to death. There's lots of, you know, even on this narrow path that we walk following Jesus, because isn't it narrow? If you're walking right behind somebody and you're putting their foot, you're putting where their foot was. It's pretty narrow. The scripture talks about it being narrow. And so wide is the path that leads to destruction because you can just run all over the place. You can do whatever you want to do. You can make up your own rules and your own laws. And you can reach your own opinion without going to the Word of God to find out what God's opinion is. We do that. All of us will do that. Instead of really seeking God and seeking his word in decisions in our life and direction. So a follower is centered completely on Jesus. That means he focuses entirely on Jesus in life and he reflects his care and compassion to all your actions. So we need daily routines. Does anyone have daily routines? You have some things that you just always do. It's like when you sit down to eat, I think most of us say a prayer. It's really good to sit when you sit down to eat to calm yourself, calm your body, take a deep breath and say a prayer. It gets your body ready to receive that food, gets your digestive tract ready instead of just gobbling down your food. Oh yeah, I forgot to pray. Hallelujah. Not that that's wrong. I'm just saying overall, it's good for you to calm your mind, calm your body. So that you can receive your nourishment. We need nourishment. Somebody say amen. We're not going to keep going if we don't have natural nourishment and spiritual nourishment. So a rule of life is a daily routine and commitment to live our lives a certain way. And it's when we intentionally and thoughtfully make space for that fellowship with God. I had a professor that emphasized for 4 years, go to bed right, get up in the morning right. Go to bed right, get up in the morning right. And that becomes a part of our routine. Going to bed right, being right with God, clearing the slate before you go to sleep. And when you get up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for this day. Your mercy is new every morning. Thank you for your mercy today. And just acknowledging the Lord. You know, when you do that, you think about the Lord more during the day. When you're more intentional, when you get up and you read the word, it's important to be intentional. What if you're not aiming at anything, then you're going to hit it every time. You're not going to hit anything. It's making that decision, I'm going to be intentional. Who has routines in the morning? Yeah, usually we get up and take care of personal stuff, right? And then get to prayer and Bible reading. Hallelujah. Got to take care of the natural. Tell someone you got to take care of the natural. That's a reality of life. And take care of the spiritual. They go together. God's concerned about our body, soul, and spirit. He's concerned about the whole man. He made us. But anyway, just a few things to look at for a routine. One is focus on prayer and Bible reading. And that is making times, possibly throughout the day or first thing in the morning, specifically for prayer and Bible reading. Jeff was talking to me the other day, and he said, you know, I'm not on Facebook. I gave up Facebook. I decided instead of picking up my phone and getting on Facebook, I was going to pick up my Bible and get in my Bible. I think that's a great decision. Hallelujah. Those small moments. You don't have that much time, but I'm telling you, Facebook and the internet can just pull you down that rabbit hole. So Jesus did this too. Since our goal is to keep Jesus at the center and be aware of his presence throughout the day, remember, Jesus did this too. In Luke 5:16, it says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He had to get away and get alone with God. He had to have that time. So we are just, you know, we're not thinking when we think we can just live our life. My mom called it burning the candle at both ends, just constantly going, 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 and not making time for God. We're not going to have a happy life. And we're not going to have a happy body, because our body needs some rest too. And those times with the Lord are good times to rest your body. The second thing is, choose to reflect at the end of the day. That's part of that going to bed right. So regardless, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a working mom, if you're running a company, if you're working in the factory, regardless of where you're at, make a decision to reflect each day. And just look over your life. And how did you do that day? The scripture says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God's a refuge for us. At the end of the day, you might be totally frustrated. A lot of things went wrong. Things went wrong in the family. Dinner didn't turn out. Hallelujah. You're frustrated. Don't go to bed. Don't go to sleep with that. You know, at the end of the day, pray about that. Get with God. It's okay to pour your heart out to the Lord. So, and you know what? When you begin to do that, God might highlight an area to you that he wants you to work on. Has God ever highlighted areas to you? Did you realize at the end of the day, I did not act like my best self today? I could have done better right there. So, you know, some questions that I like to ask myself is, what went well today? What went well today? And I'll ask myself, what was hard today? Do you ever have some hard times during the day? You know, sometimes we just want to get through them, leave them behind, and not think about it. But this is how we learn. This is how we grow. This is how we mature when we take time to look at these things. Another one I'll do is, what did I learn about what I did that I would do it differently? So it's like, what's my experiential knowledge from what I went through today? How would I have handled that situation differently to be my best self, to represent Jesus in a better way? Now listen, Jesus isn't mad at you. Jesus isn't going to kick you out. He doesn't love you any less. You know, we get these ideas. It's like, oh, I really messed up. I really acted up today. The Lord's mad at me. No, he's not. He's not. He loves you just the same. You know, you can't do anything to keep God from loving you. It's kind of like a parent. Anybody ever raised a child that went through the terrible twos? They can act like a terror, right? But you love them anyway, right? You love them anyway. It's not like you're going to trade them in. You can't. It's illegal. You can't just trade in your child and get a different one. It's like working through that. What can we do differently? You know, you begin to look at things differently and like, what can I do for that child to help them get through this the next time? You know, every child is different. Who has more than one child? Do you have any children that are the same? No. You know, that's the wonderful thing about God. We're so uniquely made. And that is one thing that we always need to remember, even within our community, is that we are all uniquely made and we are all uniquely different by God's design. And so we honor that design. It's God's design. He made them that way. You know, and of course, there are things that need to be taught, things that need to be tempered, things that need to be trained. But that's all a process of maturing. Remember, we teach here, maturing is not a spiritual gift. Maturing is something that you personally work on, and you work on that within a community, a family, within relationships. Otherwise, you'll never see yourself for who you really are. We mirror. Did you know our brain has mirror neurons? What we're watching. This is how children learn. They mirror what you do. They mimic you. They mirror because our brain has mirror neurons. You don't really know what you look like unless you look in the mirror, right? You have no idea what you really look like. You can't see yourself unless you look in the mirror to see a reflection. Well, the Word of God is called the mirror of God. You look into the Word of God to see what God wants to do in your heart, and then you let the Lord change you. Otherwise, you're walking away, and the Scripture says to do that is really foolish. You walk away, and you just stay the way you are. You know, God created us very unique, and He has a process for each one of us to journey through to change us and to make us more like Him, to make us the best that we can be, to reach our highest potential. And the last thing I always ask myself before I go to sleep is, what am I grateful for today? What am I grateful for? What do I have gratitude for? Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord. The third one. Is that the third one up there? Okay. Foster relationships. So this includes being present with your family, serving in your local church, and being at peace with those around you, fostering an atmosphere of peace. And so often I've heard several people lately say that they decided to put their phone down in the evening so they can be fully present with their family. We don't have children around, but you know what? I even noticed we have four dogs, and they're very attentive when I get home. And if I pick up my phone, they're just like, and they go over and lay down somewhere. I'm serious. I'm like, oh, my poor Rottweilers. They're just so sad. They want me to pet them. They don't want me to look at my phone. You know, and so when you're working with people, let's think about that. You can be totally ignored by somebody because they're paying more attention to their phone than they are to you. And you're not aware. And you know what? We all think we can do more than one thing at a time, and you can't. You might think you are, but your brain is not made that way. You need to focus. You might be doing two things, but you're not doing a good job at two things. Okay? Because you have divided attention. Hallelujah. So foster relationships. This is something Jesus did. Has anyone watched The Chosen? I absolutely love The Chosen because, you know, I know they took biblical liberties in a lot of their productions, but really, I believe that's the relational Jesus. I can't even imagine of the disciples living together and traveling together and all of them together all the time and how Jesus handled all of that. And you know, they're competing against each other and all that. And Jesus is in the midst of all of that, bringing peace and calm. And that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to be able to step into situations that are difficult and conflictual and to be able to release His peace. If you carry His peace, that peace will come. You know, and often you carry that peace and you don't even realize it. I remember we would have customers come into our groom shop. I ran a grooming salon and a school for years. And we would have people come in. And in the midst of having 30 dogs, you know, packed away in cages and barking and carrying on, people would come in and they'd say, there's just something about this place that just gives me such peace. And that's the peace of God in the midst of chaos. You know, that's the peace of God in the midst of a storm. You can be the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the earth. Hallelujah. You want to inherit the earth? Walk in peace. Walk in peace. You can inherit the situations around you, circumstances, with the peace of God, because the peace of God is a weapon. It's a weapon of warfare, and it's what the world is crying out for. And having peace and joy and love in the midst of a community is what people are wanting. There's enough conflict in the world. Somebody say amen. Okay, the fourth thing to look at is to nurture yourself. Some self-care. So commit to a good diet and engage in some life-giving activities. Because life-giving activities, this is vital to your growth as a Christian. You know, you might choose a time to exercise or some type of activity with your family or friends. It can also include choosing a day of rest and doing nothing. My siblings, we're all going down to Tennessee in April because one of our nephews is getting married. So we're renting a house together, a lodge together, and they were sending out, the person doing all the arrangements was sending out, you know, videos on it. And that was one thing that there's tons of stuff to do in this huge house of family activities. But towards the end of it, and it says, and sometimes for adults, they just want to do nothing. Hey, adults, have you ever felt that way? Yes, you want to do nothing. It's a beautiful view. But that's nurturing. That's taking care of yourself. You know, there was a time in my life that I felt guilty for just resting. And I think it was back in 2004, the Lord began to talk to me about that. I don't have to be busy all the time. It's just, when you get on that, I call it the gerbil wheel. When you get on that, it is hard to jump off. You don't know where to jump because you don't know where you're going to land. Because if you're really busy, you don't have to deal with your stuff. Somebody say amen. God will get into your stuff when you slow down and you rest and you're quiet with Him. But it's better to unpack your stuff. Somebody say amen. Don't carry that extra baggage around with you. So nurture, self-care, take care of yourself. You're important. You are the only one of you. You're uniquely made, designed by God, with potentials and abilities and talents and purpose. Don't wear yourself out. Don't wear yourself out. Take that time of rest and relaxation. And of course, there's always a balance. That's not a license just to do nothing, except for when you need to do nothing. Someone say amen. I don't know if you're with me this morning. And always remind yourself of God's love. That's so important. Whether we've done everything we've planned or not, we have to remind ourselves of God, that God's love hasn't changed for us. And we have to learn to give ourselves grace and realize you are accepted and loved by God even when you miss commitments. You're accepted and loved by God. Give yourself some grace. Does anyone want to admit they're harder on themselves than they need to be? Oh yeah, we have all of these rules and regulations and goals for ourselves that we think are so spiritual and holy and godly. And have you asked God about all of that? We want to live a holy life. We want to live a godly life. But sometimes in counseling, that's what I've learned. People are much harder on themselves and have much higher expectations of themselves than what God even does. It's true. It's true. And you know what? They're miserable because they can't live up to them. But when we're walking with Jesus, when we're following in His footsteps, when we are doing what God has asked us to do, and we're doing the best we can. You know, sometimes you make a mistake. Sometimes you fall. But the scripture says the righteous man gets up seven times and he keeps going. He keeps going. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're in this world, we're in the flesh, and it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us moving forward with God. Hallelujah. You are totally loved and totally accepted by God. And you know what? You need to totally love and accept yourself. Because we can have some really negative, bad thoughts about ourselves that keeps us from growing. In counseling, I call them limited beliefs. We have beliefs that limit our potential and keep us from becoming the person God has called us to be. Thank you, Lord. So we just finished up a follower centered completely on Jesus. And we're quickly go through a follower is changing by result of steady growth. So this is Matthew was a good example of that. Jesus called to Matthew and he said, follow me. And Matthew followed him without hesitation. And Matthew completely changed his life. He was no longer the despised tax collector anymore. He was willing to leave everything behind. He was willing to leave his wealth and worldly possessions behind because he was committed to following Jesus. And he abandoned all of the pleasures of this world for the promise of eternal life. And do you know when you commit to serve Jesus, we always have this thought that we're going to be in heaven and we'll have eternal life someday. No, you have eternal life right now. It's right now. God's eternal life comes to us right now. We're living eternal life because God is on the inside of us. And when we step from this world into the next world, we just step into the next life. We don't miss a beat. That's why when loved ones go on before us, yes, we miss them. Yes, we love them. You know, you wish they were here and your heart misses them. But knowing that they aren't dead, they are alive because they died in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for that hope. Thank you, Lord, for that hope. So living a completely changed life, how does this apply to our lives? First of all, personal growth involves continual change and development. That is something that each one of us do. It's up to us. You don't have to grow. But if you want to change, then you're going to need some input and some help. Everything you learn, everything you do, has been taught to you by someone. I can stand here today because I've had some of the best teachers. I've sat at some of the best teachers' feet, and they have poured into my life, and I studied that word, and it became a part of me. And so it's in me, and I can share it. But had I not applied myself, I would have nothing to share. We have to apply ourselves to have something to share. And so transformation is an ongoing process. It's not a one-time event. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus just waved his wand over this whole congregation? Whew! Changed. Exactly how I created you to be. Oh, boy. I'm a soul physician, and the restoration and the building up and the coming forth of the soul that God created on the inside of us is a journey, and it's a beautiful journey. It's a beautiful journey. We're constantly being changed in our mind, our will, our emotions. Our minds are being transformed by the Spirit of the living God. Or it can be transformed by other things if you're listening to the wrong stuff. Hallelujah. So followers of Jesus are changed from the inside out. Did you know that? God changes us from the inside out. You still look the same, but you don't act the same. Have you ever noticed that about yourself? Oh, my word, I look the same. I might even be looking worse, but my insides are better. I'm coming out as a better person than what I used to. Hallelujah. All right. So our lives are in a constant change of growth. And change is inevitable, but growth is optional. So change is unavoidable. It's a part of our life. Our bodies change. Our seasons change. Our jobs change. Our friends change. Change is what happens when things don't stay the same. But change means transformation. And that can either be positive or it can be negative. It could mean progression or regression, one way or the other. Growth, on the other hand, implies positivity. Growth means progression. And the actual definition of growth is undergo natural development by increasing in size, progress to maturity, and to become larger or greater over a period of time. Change happens without your permission. Right? It happens without your permission. But growth is a decision that we make. I encourage you to make that decision to grow. Grow in your passion. Grow in Jesus Christ. Grow on your job. Learn new job skills. Continue to push yourself to be everything God has created you to be. In the simplest terms, change is switching course, and growth is evolution process that occurs while we're in route. So Ephesians 6, 11 through 14, let's read this together. This is a key scripture for River of Life Praisers Ministries. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the mission of our church, to equip God's people for works of service. And get this, the word equip from the Greek actually means to repair, adjust, to fit, to frame, to mend perfectly, to join together, to prepare, and to restore. That is why my heart is a soul physician, restoring the foundations of people's life. That is the mission and the journey of the church, is to equip God's people. All of those definitions that I just read for works of service. Why? So the body of Christ can be built up. The stronger you are, the stronger the body of Christ is, because we're all joined together. And it says, until we reach unity in the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. God wants to mature us not only in the spiritual, but also in the natural. He created our body, soul, and spirit. He's coming back for a mature church, right? He's coming back for a bride, the scripture says, without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. He's going to return one of these days, and he wants us to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, we get a taste of a measure, and we might think we've arrived, but is it the whole measure? I don't think we've seen the whole measure of God yet being manifested in our lives and in our midst. There's a whole measure God wants to pour out into our hearts and into our lives. So maturity is about reaching one's God-given potential. And it means maximizing our skills and our talents and using them effectively while growing into our full capability of our individual design. And that definition is from Living from the Heart Jesus Gave You, which is a group that will be going through a book study that we'll be going through after the move and after things get settled. But it's a wonderful book about laying a foundation of joy. That's our first emotion that's developed as a baby, is joy, and laying that foundation of joy that causes us to be resilient our whole life. It causes us, it's what helps us and stabilizes us through all the tests and trials that come our way. Because just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're going to not have problems. Somebody say amen. Did you have any problems this week? Oh, we had just a few around here. So, remembering, Jesus can reach anyone at any time with his grace and power. You know, he is defined as our good shepherd. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, if he's not your Savior, then you do not have anything in this life. If he isn't your shepherd, then he's not your Savior. So when we accept him as our personal Savior, he will become our personal shepherd. And what he promised, he will provide. Psalm 23, the Lord's been talking to me a lot about the shepherd aspect of it. And I was looking this morning over at this table, the Lord is my shepherd. That's my table. Leonard bought that for me. And I had bought it in for the church to use, so I'm taking it back home when we move. It's going back in my house because I love that. The Lord's my shepherd. It just reminds me that we have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's mine. Okay? It's amazing how God can be all of us at the same time, our shepherd. And what do shepherds do? They watch over the sheep. They protect them. They provide for the sheep. Sheep are really dumb. Sheep will just wander off somewhere. It's not really a compliment that the Lord calls us his sheep. Study sheep sometime and you'll find out. But he's an amazing shepherd. Look how patient he is with us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Why? Because he provides for me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He takes me to the green pastures. He provides for me green pastures. Sheep eat a lot of green pastures, right? And we like other things to eat. Hallelujah. But he provides green pastures for us, not only to nourish our bodies, but also to nourish our souls and to nourish our spirit man. And he leads me beside still waters. We've got to get some stillness in our life. I believe the trick of the enemy is to just keep everybody stirred up, constantly going, confused, or looking for this, looking for that, trying to gather more information. Who cares about that story? You know, all these things will pop up. Headlines. And it is so tempting to follow that. But you know where it's going to take you. And what you learn from it really doesn't edify you. Does this really edify my soul and build me up? Is what you need to ask yourself before you follow that. Get beside still waters. Who likes to be by still waters? That is so peaceful. Just to look out at that water. Do you find peace doing that? You know, our eye gate pulls in from nature things that will nourish our soul that nothing else can nourish. Nothing else can nourish. I'll encourage people who are struggling with depression or anxiety, if they can't get outside, just sit close to a window and look up at the sky. Especially when we have blue skies in Indiana this time of the year. Every time there's a blue sky in Indiana, you need to soak that in. Because, yeah, some of you are shaking your head. Yes, because we don't get too many of them. But that color and the sky, God made to nourish our souls and to bring us peace. You know, so many things in life are free that will help us. We have to take time to do that. And coming beside the still waters. I love to be by still waters. And what happens? Verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. See, all of that is created for us. For us. For our soul. Our mind, our will, our emotions. That soul that can get so riled up and just pull you forward, and you make decisions and do things that you regret later. Anybody ever felt their soul just pull them? It'll just push you. And that's what we're learning, how to bring the mind, the will, and the emotions into submission to Jesus Christ. Our souls should not be running us. Although, you know, there is such a thing as soul power. I don't know if you all remember the song years ago, Soul Power. Got some soul power going on. There is such a thing as soul power. And when all those souls hook together, they can create some. Sometimes it can be beneficial and sometimes it's not. But your soul does have power. Your mind, your will, and emotions. The whole thing is, the soul is the pivotal point inside of you. We are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in the body. So our spirit is born again by the Spirit of God. And God wants our spirit man to rule us. But the soul is actually the pivotal part of the body, of the decision-making process. And your soul has to come to those still waters and be submitted unto the Lord Jesus Christ to know that you're hearing by the Spirit. Because your soul has a voice, the Spirit has a voice, and your body has a voice, and everything's talking to you at the same time. My body's saying, I want ice cream. I want some chocolate. I'm on a restricted eating program right now. It's something I do in February, and it's like my body's telling me all kinds of stuff that I don't need. No, I'm going to pick up my Bible, Jeff. That's the best thing to do. There is a book called I Deserve a Donut Today. And in that book, there are different categories that you can look up that you're craving these foods. And there's like scriptures and exhortation to help you cancel out that craving. Because, you know, if you wait long enough, it will go away. It will go away. I promise. Anyway, on we go. He leads me in paths of righteousness. So there's this path. Remember we were talking about the path. He gets us on that path of righteousness, and he leads us. We're following in his footsteps. And what is it for? For his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And notice, it's a shadow of death. It's a shadow. We don't have to fear any evil because we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes you might feel like you're dying because of the situation that you're in. But remember, he says, fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. In that valley, in the shadow of the death, Jesus is with me. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. And he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. He prepares a table for us. He is always in preparation mode for us. You know that? He's always in preparation mode for us. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies, the enemy of our soul. All of those worries and doubts and fears and the what ifs and I need more information about this, and I can't make a decision. I just ministered to a person not too long ago that was just torn about, I've got to do this, or I've got to do that, and I need to hear from the Lord. I just don't know what to do. And you know what the Lord said? I'll bless either one you choose. And if you want to do both, it's okay. And they're like, what? Do you know God does that for you? We put ourselves into hyperventilation over something that is not that important. Have you ever done that? Am I talking to the right group of people? God will let you, lead you. If you are supposed to do one or the other, he will lead you. But you know what? You cannot hear God when you are in a state of panic. Your brain shuts off. All the reasoning in your frontal cortex is gone. You can't even reason what you already know. It's not there because you're in such a panic. Because that's that fight or flight state that people come to. It's not a good place to be. Unless you are really in danger and your brain kicks in to do that and you take off. That's why we have that. But anyway, he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies, and he anoints our head with oil. He will, if we can get to the table, he's going to anoint our head with oil, and our cup is going to run over. It's not just a little bit of oil that God oils us with. He wants to oil us with an abundance. The scripture says he lavishes his love on us. He lavishes his oil on us, and our cup runs over. And then what? Surely goodness and mercy. Let's read it together. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. We're going to get ready to close, Brother Jeff, if you want to bring the team up, forever. So the Lord is our shepherd. He's our personal shepherd. He meets our needs. He restores our soul. Coming to a place where we can still ourselves, because we all have busy lifestyles. Anybody in here not have a busy lifestyle? You're just sitting at home doing nothing? No, there's none of us like that. Life is full. That's what I always say. I don't say busy. One time I read the acronym for busy was busy under Satan's yoke. And I thought, well, I'm not busy under Satan's yoke, so my life is full. A lot of times people ask, how's it going? I'll say, my life is full. That's why I say my life is full. Because my yoke with Jesus is easy. Come on. And his burden is light. And the scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. But you see, the way with Jesus, our yoke is easy. Our burden's light. He's our shepherd. He's taking care of us. We can rest in that. He'll guide us on that path. He'll take us there. He comforts us. And just one more point I wanted to bring out about the comfort of the Lord. Comfort is a word that means strength through companionship. He strengthens us through his companionship. He's always with us. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. So in the midst of all the troubles that we have, remember, he prepares a table for us. And he comforts us because he's there. And he anoints our head with oil. And our cup overflows. There's such a refreshing that we can get in God's presence. He over and above will supply for us. You know, so often people will say, Christians will say, well, the Lord only asked me to give 10% and that's all I'm giving. That's it, I'm done. I'm giving 10% and I'm spending the rest for me. But you know, aren't you glad God's not stingy or tight? God is not stingy or tight. Our cup overflows with God's goodness and mercy and his loving kindness. And he said it would follow us. Look behind you. You've got goodness and mercy following you everywhere you go. All the days of our life. Not just some of the time. It's always there. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your kindness, for your goodness to us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you take this message, these words, and Lord, that you cause them to be life in the soul, life in the spirit, life in our bodies, Lord, that you, Lord, are making the whole person. Lord, you're working on each one of us, rearranging us, changing us, making us into who you created us to be, your divine design for each one of our lives, Lord. Thank you for this time we've had together. Thank you for our family here. Thank you for our guests here, Lord. Thank you that you assigned us here today for this particular message, for this purpose. Because everyone that came out today, they made an effort to get here today. It was a good day just to stay home in bed. Hallelujah. And relax. But they came. So, Lord, cause their lives to be changed. Cause their lives to be changed. Cause their situations to be healed. Cause your divine intervention to flow through their life and through their homes, Lord. We ask today that you release your spirit in their homes. Some of them left homes in chaos. Lord, we just decree and declare that the peace of God is going to take over those homes in Jesus' name. And those who couldn't get here today, Lord, we speak peace to their homes. Thank you, Lord, that when we're carriers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and peace is our portion. Peace is our portion. Thank you, Lord, for your peace today, your goodness, your mercy, Lord. Thank you for this time we've had together. In Jesus' mighty name.